welcome. I'd like this day to welcome you. If you are a guest here with today, I just want to say how honored we are that you have chosen to come worship with us and learn about God with us. We pray for you every week that we're going to see more and more guests come in, so we are very honored you are here today. Isn't God amazing? How many of you are trading in your sickness and your pain? You're giving it up to God, and you're going to live in his glory. Isn't that awesome we can do that? You know what? Why don't we take a few minutes right now, go shake hands with someone, say good morning to someone you haven't said good morning to, and let them know how happy you are that they are here with us today. Well, it is another great day. As you find your seats now, we'll go over. We just a couple of quick announcements. We are all set to go. July 29th will be our baptism service. I've had several people come with me, and so just to go back, we believe in what's called the believer's baptism. When someone comes to know Christ, whether it be they 5 or whether they be 105. We believe when you come to know Christ, the next step is to be baptized as a believer, to declare publicly that you are following Christ. I've had several people come to me, and they would like to be baptized. So Sunday, July 29th, after service, we're going to go down to the hotel, and we're going to baptize those who meet the criteria, who understand what baptism is, who accepted Christ as their Savior, and we're going to baptize them. If you would like to get on that, you need to come talk to me as soon as possible, so we can just talk about that. We're very excited as more and more people are taking this next step in their faith, and we're very excited for that. Immediately after that, we are going to go to the Erickson's house for a backyard barbecue and enjoy a time of fellowship. I believe all of our backyard barbecues are signed up for?
Yeah.
All the backyard barbecues are signed up for. We're looking forward to each and every month having a day of fellowship and just enjoying time together. That's so important that we also enjoy time together. Speaking of time together, Saturday, July 28th, men meeting here at noon. We're going to barbecue, drink root beer, and have a horseshoe tournament. I mean, what's more manly than that? Cooking meat, throwing heavy things, and drinking root beer. Now, looking forward to another great time of fellowship with the Men of Hope. And this is a great time if you have friends who don't like to come to church. You're not inviting them to church. You're inviting them to come here and fellowship with guys, cook food, and play, throw heavy things around and be in a competition. All guys love that. We will be getting everything set for Hope 101 membership classes. We will get that ready this week, and we will set a date. By next week, we'll have a date all set up, and we'll be ready to roll with that. We are looking forward to many more people becoming members of River of Hope, because we're working on getting the bylaws done here in the next couple of months, and then we'll have to vote on that. And if you're a member, you can vote on our bylaws. Our bylaws simply state how the church is going to run. But if you want to be able to voice your opinion on what the bylaws should state, you need to be a member. So, well, good morning again. I am Pastor Josh. I am the senior pastor here. I am so excited for everyone that is here. And if you are joining us live, welcome. And if you are catching us on a replay on the internet, we're so glad that you are listening. And my sincere prayer is that this message changes your life today. We are continuing on in our series called Games We Play. We've been looking at board games. And today we're going to look at the game of life. I played this game once, and I've never played it again. I'm going to tell you why. I was a teenager. So now, you may see me now like, hey, he's really cool, and he's got it all together, and he's so good-looking, and so popular. Well, when I was a teenager, believe it or not, I was none of those. And I sat down to play the game of life with my cousin. Now, one of the first things you need to decide in the game of life is, will you immediately take a career, or will you go to college? Now, I weighed all the options, and I decided I'm going to immediately take my career. You then choose from a pack of cards a career. Random draw. I drew the worst job you could get in the game of life. My cousin decided to go to college, and when she was done, she drew the highest paying job you can get in the game of life. She went on to get married in the game and have lots of kids. I didn't. I think I'm the only person ever who did not get married or have kids in the game of life. It was just like, it was so horrible. And when I got done, she completely trounced me. And I'm like, I just lost the game of life. Now, battling depression at that time, losing the game of life was heartbreaking for me. And I never played that game again. I'm never going to play it again either. Game of life is rigged. But what can the game of life teach us? Well, as I was watching that, so she gets the fancy new car. She gets married. She has kids. I started to compare my game to her game. And jealousy came up. And I'm telling you right now, in the game of life we're playing right now, it is so easy to get jealous. It is so easy to look at what everybody else has and say, I want that. Or we'll say, I need that. Yeah. We got to learn the difference between wants and needs. But we've been talking about our foundation. We're building on Christ. We're building on that hope that we are saved and that we are living for Him every day. That's what we're building on. Last week we talked about we got to take out greed and anger. Got to replace them with love and charity. This week we're going to look at jealousy. And are we building with jealousy? So here's the questions we're going to answer today. The first one is, how do I define success? That's a good question to think about. How do you define success? And what are some examples of people who built with jealousy? There are some great examples in the Bible of people who decided to build their Christian structure, their life with jealousy. What are the dangers if I build with jealousy? If I take out jealousy, what do I replace it with, right? You can't pull out a building block and not replace it. Every time we pull something out, we got to put something in its place. What are the results of my actions? And finally, am I building with jealousy? And will I take it out and be content? Let's go into prayer before we go into this service, into this message. Dearly Father, I thank you for this message you've given me. I thank you that you've given me many opportunities this week to show where I am still jealous and where I need to take this out and be content with what you have blessed me with. This has been a humbling week. I appreciate this. I pray now that this message will go forth, that it will affect those it needs to affect, and that it will change lives. Lord, if lives are not changed, this is all vanity. That's what I pray for. I pray you'll give me the words I need to speak. Stop my mouth when it needs to be stopped. This is all for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first question is, how do I define success? So how does the world tend to define success? It's the attainment of popularity or profit, right? If you're successful, it means you have money or you're really popular. You have lots of friends. That means you're successful, right? You have lots of money. Boy, if you have lots of money, you must be successful. If you have a fancy car, boy, if you're looking, someone said, look at that fancy car they drive. They must be really successful. Chances are they're really in debt. If you have a great big house, oh yeah. You know, I got an 18-bedroom house with 15 bathrooms. You know, back when I was younger, they had a show on MTV called Cribs, where they would take you to all these big rappers and singers and movie stars, and they'd show you their houses, and like, look at all this. You older generation, you probably remember the show The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous with Robin Leach. Lots of toys. I eat four-wheelers, boats. I have a great friend, and he told me this is how he defines success for his kids. I am not joking. This is what he says. He said it more than once. He is a great man, but he is so wrong on this. He said, I told my kids, this is how I define if you're successful. If when it comes time to taxes, you are paying money back, not getting a refund, and if when we go out to eat, you are picking up the tab, that is success. Well, then I am not successful according to that standard. And that's how I used to judge myself. And I've gotten into a lot of trouble by going off of this. Last month, I sat down with a pastor friend of mine, Eric Jackson. So this is how we should define it. The accomplishment of an aim or purpose. Now listen to this. He said, how do you define success? We were talking about church growth. He said, how do you define success? I said, well, it's in numbers. You know, we got to have 3 new people every week. And out of those 3 people, 1 person has to come back. That's how we're successful. He's like, dude, stop. This is how you define if you are successful. To live and work in the will of God. That is it. If you are living and working in the will of God, you are there for a success. End of story. Just recently, a good friend of mine decided that she was going to listen to the call of God and quit a very good job to follow God into ministry. That person is successful. It does not matter if she has this, she has that. She's living and working within the will of God. That makes her a huge success. But boy, jealousy comes up because we look at this. We look at this, don't we? Boy, I gotta have that nice car. I gotta have that nice big house. I gotta have all these friends. I gotta be able to go to Brewer games and Packer games. I'm not saying those are bad. But what people are finding out is the more you get those things, the more you have to work, the more you don't have time for your family. And the reason a lot of times we do that is because we get jealous because we look at our neighbors and we say, they got that nice car. They got that nice house. Look, they got a boat. They got 4-wheelers. They got a cabin up north. They're constantly going on vacations. And we say, I want that. I need that. That's nothing but jealousy. So here are some examples of people who built with jealousy. The first one is Cain and Abel. So Cain and Abel are bringing their offerings to God. Abel raised animals. Cain was a farmer and he raised fruit. They brought their offerings to God. God accepted Abel's offering, but not Cain's. Cain was so jealous that God accepted Abel's offering that he said to Abel, hey, come with me, little brother. Come out in this field. I want to talk to you. And Cain stood up and killed Abel. Joseph told his brothers that he had a dream that he was going to rule over his brothers. And the Bible tells us he was his father's favorite son. His father loved him so much that he gave him a coat filled with colors. And when Joseph told his brothers, hey, one day I'm going to rule over you, his brothers got jealous. So one day he was sent to them out in the field, and they were out there, and they said, here comes the dream master. Let's kill him. And this one brother said, no, let's not kill him. So they threw him into a pit. They couldn't figure out what to do with him. And along came some slave traders. They sold him into slavery. Then they cut up his coat, covered it in blood, and told their father he had been killed. All because of jealousy. So, King Ahab got jealous of Naboth, N-A-B-O-T-H, you can, however you pronounce it. And he wanted his vineyard. And he said to him, hey, sell me your vineyard. And Naboth's like, no, I want to keep it. And Ahab's like, but I'm the king, sell it to me. He's like, nah, I'm fine, don't want your money. I'm happy with this. So his wife, Jezebel, arranges it for him to have him killed. And Naboth goes and takes the vineyard because he was jealous. David, King David, this is the man who the Bible tells us was a man after God's own heart. And I'm sure you're all familiar with this story, but we're going to recap it real quick. One day it's hot out. David goes up to his roof, and oh, he can look, as he's looking down, he sees next door a beautiful woman named Bathsheba taking a bath. Even though David has many wives, and this was the wife of one of his generals, he takes Bathsheba in, do things they're not supposed to, and then later, she comes back and says, hey, I'm pregnant with your kid. David then tries to get his general to come back. His general, who was so loyal to David, says, I'm not going to leave the army for you. So David says, hey, send him to the front line. Make sure he's killed. So he gets sent to the front line. Sure enough, he gets killed. And David says, now I'm going to marry Bathsheba. No one will know what he did. Because he was jealous. Before he was king, David returned from killing the Philistine, Goliath. The women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, playing songs of joy in their timbrels. Listen to what they said here. Saul has killed thousands, and David his 10,000s. Saul became very angry, saying, why are they talking about David killing tens of thousands and me only a thousands? And from that, he became jealous. And from that day on, he did not trust David. We move into because he was jealous. Because the people were seeing how David killed more people than Saul. That's a stupid thing to be jealous about, right? That would be like me being jealous because Josh has shot more deer in his life than me. I don't care. He's also had to clean a lot more deer than I had, and it's fine by me. Moving to the New Testament, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself and brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. See, Ananias and Sapphira were so jealous that all these other people were giving money to God, and they were being told how great they were. Ananias and Sapphira got jealous. They wanted to hear that. But they didn't want to give everything to God, so they held back. Those are just a few of the examples of people who have built up with jealousy. So what are the dangers if we're building with jealousy? Wanting what we don't have will lead us to take something that isn't ours. Or something we can't afford. Man, I remember I was so jealous when my brother-in-law bought another new truck. I was so jealous of him that he bought this nice new truck. So you know what I did? I bought a truck. Now, yeah, there are good things about this truck. I mean, it literally snowed a foot a week after I bought it, and I was still able to get to work. But I technically can't afford it because I didn't pay for cash in it. I took out a loan, right? I bought something I couldn't afford just because I was jealous of my brother-in-law. Do you see how stupid that is? But when you are built with jealousy, that's what's going to happen. If you build with jealousy, you're going to get something you're not ready for. Jealousy will lead to deep... Jealousy is a sin to begin with. Breaks the Ten Commandments. But it's always going to lead to deeper sin. And I guarantee you this. Every time you sin, there will be consequences that follow it. There's a law for every action. There is an equal and opposite reaction. If you live in jealousy, you sin, you're going to be punished for it. What was my punishment? I ended up with a truck payment for the next how long? I mean, it was technically a good deal. But do I really need that truck? Probably not. Should I have bought it? Definitely not. And now I'm stuck with a truck payment. And the thing eats gas like it's going out of business, man. Every time I fill it up, it's $100. So Cain, in jealousy, killed Abel. This is what God tells him. Now you are cursed because of the ground which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it'll no longer give strength to you. You'll always travel from place to place on the earth. Consequence. The jealousy led him to murder his brother. The consequence was he's now cursed because of it. Saul is jealous that people sing praises to David more than him. So the next day, a bad spirit was sent from God, came upon Saul with power. He acted like a crazy man in his house while David was playing the harp. Saul had a spear in his hand and threw the spear thinking, I will nail David to the wall. But David jumped out of his way twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him but had left Saul. Saul wound up losing his kingship and wound up being killed in battle because he was jealous of a shepherd boy who was getting praises for killing more people than he did. David sleeps with Bathsheba. This is just horrible what happens to him. Remember, he sleeps with Bathsheba, then kills her husband, right? So God sends the prophet Nathan to him, and he finally confesses what he did, and this is what Nathan says. I'm going to edit this as best I can for little ears. He says, because you have done this, your son is going to go and sleep with all your wives forcefully out in public. And that happened. Absalom came in, forcibly took all David's wives in public. And then God did not allow that child to live. The child that was conceived in jealousy and sin was not allowed to live. Ananias and Sapphira. Remember, they were jealous because everybody was getting this acclaim for bringing their money to God. And they're like, well, we're going to bring the money to God, but we're going to hold back. And the spirit comes upon... I want to make sure I have the right name. Peter. Yep, okay. Peter said, how is it that Satan has filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Here's the kicker. Ananias did not have to sell that land. He did not have to give all the money to God. He wasn't interested in the glory of God or helping God. He was jealous because he wanted the glory for himself. What was his punishment? He died immediately right there in his tracks. His wife Sapphira came in. They asked her the same question. Was this all the money? And she said, yes. And they said, behold, the men who carried your husband's body out are coming to get you. And she dropped dead. Do you see? Jealousy begets sin. Sin begets consequences. You have to learn. This is a very hard lesson to learn. I'm still trying to figure it out. I ain't joking, man. Every time I come up with a sermon, God shows me how I'm struggling with it in my life. Every single time. It's awesome because I'm being refined very quickly. Replace jealousy and wanting with contentment. You've got to remove the jealousy, replace it with contentment. Philippians 4, 12 through 13, we all know the back half of this verse, but do you know what the first part says? I know, this is Paul writing, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I know you all know the back half of this verse. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And you're like, well, that's easy for Paul to say. You know when Paul wrote that, he was sitting in prison. He was sitting in prison saying, hey, I'm content if I'm in prison. I'm content when I'm starving. I'm content when I have more than enough. I'm content because I'm living in the will of God, and I can do that because he is giving me strength. Hebrews 13:5 tells us this. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you had because God has said, listen to this very closely, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The God who created the universe simply by speaking, uni meaning one, verse meaning sentence, one sentence. That God who did all that says, Kathy, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I think it's pretty awesome. The superintendent of our district knows me by name. And when he sees me, he remembers my wife's name. I think that's pretty awesome. The superintendent of our district knows my name personally. You know who doesn't know my name? Governor of Wisconsin. You know who doesn't know my name? The President of the United States. But you know who does know my name and cares about me? The God who created this universe. He knows your name too. He's telling the Kurt, I'm not going to leave you, Kurt. Be happy with what you have. Timothy 6, 6 through 7. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. And finally, Matthew 6, 33. I love this verse. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. I'm telling you, you put God here and everything else below that, it may be really hard. I am not saying you're going to have this great, successful, easy life. I want to tell you the exact opposite. I want to tell you this life is going to have trials, tribulations, and struggles. But the great part is when you put God above everything else, you build up treasures in heaven. So when you leave here, you leave your boat, your ATV, your big house, your fancy car, you leave all that behind. All those memories of those vacations you had to take, those are all gone. But when you put God first and you seek his kingdom and his will, and you are walking in his will and you are so successful, you're building up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So what are the results of my actions? Jamie, if you decide that you're going to keep building with jealousy, here's what the Bible is going to tell you. James 3:16 says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. Do you understand? There's a reason why God put coveting in so many times in the Ten Commandments. He could have just covered it underneath one sentence. He purposely kept putting it in there Because as you've heard, certain drugs are gateway drugs. Have you heard that? You do this drug, will lead to this drug, lead to this drug. Jealousy is a gateway sin. You let jealousy in, you're going to have every evil practice. Every last one of them. James 3:14 says, I wrote it down wrong, but it talks about it'll bring on murders, fights, quarrels, and ineffective prayers. We built the foundation upon prayer, right? We want to see people when we pray. We want to see healings. We want to see miracles, and we're going to get into that. Our next series is going to be called When Pigs Fly. We're going to see miracles happen here. But if we're building up with jealousy, guess what? You might as well forget seeing miracles, because if you can't pray effectively, nothing's going to happen. The prayers of a righteous man or woman availeth much. We will be disobeying the law of God. It's plain and simple. You want to disobey the law of God? Go for it. But I'm warning you right now. I'm warning you right now that those sins will have consequences. Proverbs tells us that jealousy rots away our bones. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Can you guys see this? What does that look like? Can you see it from? Yeah. Does it look hard boiled? I'm gonna. Go ahead, touch it. I did. So, for those of you who don't know how an egg works, it's a complete miracle of science. Our God is so amazing that when he created an egg, so many things have to go right for a hen to hatch an egg, and God just instinctively told her how to do it. But so on the outside is the shell, and on the inside we know is the yolk and the white, right? But in between that is a thin membrane. And just like envy or jealousy will rot away your bones, if you soak an egg in vinegar, it'll eat off the shell, leaving behind the membrane. And when you hold it up to the light, you can actually see the yolk and stuff inside of it. This is called a naked egg. If you want to come and look at this later, this is actually really cool. Just as envy, you hold on to envy, you hold on to that jealousy, it's going to slowly eat you up inside. Think of that. Next time you look at someone and you say, I want that, think back to this egg. Now imagine what it's doing to your bones as you hold on to that, as it slowly erodes you away. We build with contentment. We will overcome evil with good. If you're content, man, we're pulling out those little bad building blocks, we're putting in the good ones, we're building up for Christ. Our prayers will be more effective because we're seeking the desires of God. Here's the other thing we need to understand. God said he will provide for all of your needs. Doesn't say he's going to give you your wants. He says, I will provide for all your needs. So what do we need? I need a place to live. I want a house with a pond and 40 acres and a wooded field that has all mature bucks so I can go out there, just walk on my back porch and shoot a trophy buck. I don't need that. I need to be able to get around. I need to be able to get around efficiently. Someone's having a crisis, and I get called, I need to go. I can do that in a $1,000 car that I can pay for in cash. I don't need that big white truck. I need food to stay alive. I want high-end steak, pork, organic fed. That's what I want. Because it just tastes better. God said, I'll provide your needs. He'll make sure you have enough food. It may not be the best food. If you're single, you're saying, I want a spouse. That's a good thing to want. But make sure while you're wanting, you're waiting. The best thing I ever did was listen to God and wait on Him. Because as much as I pick on her, Lacey's the only woman who could put up with me. When I'm having bad days and I'm being a jerk, she's the only one who can put me in my place. We put away jealousy, we build with contentment. We will be obeying the law of God. Do not be jealous of any of your neighbors, anything your neighbor has. If we put away jealousy and we build with contentment, we'll be building a structure when the refiner's fire come, and they're coming, they will last. The final question is your question. What are you building with? Are you building with jealousy? And if you are, will you remove it and will you put up contentment? Will you be like Paul and say, I know what it's like to have plenty. I know what it's like to be well fed. I know what it's like to be hungry. But I have learned the secret to being content. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Are you going to redefine what success is? You're going to redefine success as living and working in the will of God. That is a scary thing to do. I'm going to tell you right now, man. If you say, hey, God, I'm in 100%, be ready. Because He may say, okay, then pack up. They're calling you to the mission field. Over to Russia you go. Go to China. Go to Mongolia. Go to Africa. Or He might just say, you might be like, hey, I'm all in, God. I'm going to go overseas. He's like, yeah, stay here. Or you might say, I'm all in, God. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And He'd be like, hey, move to Wisconsin. Be content. Success is living and working in the will of God. Don't let envy rot away your bones. Let's go. The way it did to that eggshell. We're going to close in prayer, but we're going to offer time. If you need extra prayer for anything, big or small, our foundation is built upon Jesus, and part of that is just going, taking everything to Him in prayer. So I'm going to have Alexa come, and she's going to play music. You are welcome to stay in here as long as you need to pray. If you want to come forward, I will anoint you with oil and pray over you. We will seek God together. Whenever you feel God is done with you, you are free to go. I hope to see you all next week. We're going to continue on. Next week, we're going to talk about the game Outburst. Are you controlling your tongue, or is your tongue controlling you? Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for another amazing day. Lord, I pray now that You would help each and every one of us take out any jealousy and replace it with being content in You. It is so hard, God. Help us remember success is not defined by what we have, but living and working in Your will. I pray blessings on everyone here today. I pray for anyone who is going through things that you will give them comfort. I rebuke the enemy against them as they go forth this week. I pray you keep them all safe and bring them all back here next week so we can worship you and learn more about you. God, we give this next time just back to you as we seek you in prayer. Provide comfort. Provide answers. Show your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.